Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thank you so much for being with us this Sunday morning. We're going to be discussing Nancy Guthrie. There's some important points. I know even at a quiet time in an investigation, there's still a lot going on behind the scenes. Obviously, Nancy was reported missing on the 1st of February. So now we are on day 43. We are well into this investigation. Remember, Brian Koberger was arrested on day 47, and that investigation had about 60 FBI agents, almost a huge department with the ISP, the Idaho State Police, and then also Moscow and local departments working on that case. In this case, we know at least initially there were 100 FBI agents. Now there's a task force that have been, it's a task force working in Phoenix. And I wanted to reiterate that likely this task force was already established in terms of the Violent Crimes Task Force, and that they particularly are focused on this crime. It's hard to put task forces together. There's a lot of memorandums of understanding that you have to write, that you have to get into specific parameters and get everybody to approve. So I would believe that this task force is already well established. Works on violent crime, a lot of great knowledge and sophistication from the FBI angle there. And of course, we know Pima County has, I believe, 4 to 5 deputies there, or detectives and deputies that are working with the task force, along with all the other entities that would be working there in the local arena, as well as the federal arena. These task forces usually really have the best of the best personnel. And I'm glad that we saw that relocation, and all the analysts that I know are also working on it, are looking through all that video that exists. But I want to talk about a couple of important things. One thing I've just been remiss not to bring up, I've been to talk about it, and I just haven't, I've just been forgetful, I guess, and forgot to bring this up. And that's the El Charro restaurant. We saw, and I posted this both on YouTube, a snip from that, as well as in on Twitter, just about this wonderful footage. Wonderful, yet I think, ended up being an issue, right? Basically, NBC and the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and with all the other hosts as well, they really love to get into your living room. And how does that happen? Well, these morning shows get into your living room because they let you in theirs. They want you to feel that personal connection. I've been posting every night videos just regarding Savannah, and everything from her unloading her purse to talking about the death of her father, how difficult that grief process was for her, and then talking with others who have lost their fathers, and also just a lot of the personal videos that were featured with her and her mom, and videos that she has featured with her and her sister when they were little growing up in that house, which it's always kind of eerie when you see the photos of the house, because it hasn't changed much. I mean, it's really has it, even down to the foliage that at least appears to be very similar to what Porch got pulled that day, the day of her abduction. So it's almost like it's entranced in time. Anyway, I think all of that footage is interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think that's part of the reason that not only our country, but other countries are very interested in finding Nancy Guthrie, because she's a grandma. She's 84 years old. She got snatched from her bed. It's terrible. And I think so many people can relate to that. And people that I've talked to who are in their 70s and 80s, they just can't believe it. And I think it's put a new sort of, I don't know, more awareness on a lot of people. And when you look back at all these videos and imagery and everything, geez, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. It would be so easy to be able to snatch her and to really have a huge insight into their lives and how they lived and their layout. I mean, there's a lot of pictures that are out there that remain out there. And, you know, now it's too late. Sort of the horse done left the barn. It doesn't help to take them down at this point, but they're up there. And I keep wondering if some of the footage from some of the other anchors and everything, if they will pull that at all. They certainly need to be on alert, especially after Sheriff Nano said, listen, this guy could strike again. Don't think just the Guthries. And I just think it was so funny that I posted that about that. You know, why isn't anybody talking about the fact that this maniac is still out there? Again, he talked in singular, not as in they or them. He used him. And that was really telling to me, you know, Mac and I have gone back and forth, although, you know, she has the true premise that this was somebody stalking Savannah, and this is a nut job like an Alan Hinckley that did this to get her attention, that this has nothing to do with a true kidnapping. My side is definitely, I believe this was a purposeful, intended abduction of Nancy Guthrie, also based on the fact of her relationship with Savannah, and that it all went terribly wrong. So we have kind of two different premises, but there's a lot of things that we definitely agree on, including, you know, this space, the vulnerability from the window, being able to be spied on. And then in addition, how she would be cornered. And I know some people said, oh, Jennifer, she's not cornered in there. Yeah, she's cornered in there. This is exactly from a tactical standpoint for 15 years as a SWAT operator. This is the exact position I want the bad guy in when I go to handcuff him. I want him to be blocked by obstacles and cornered like you would see here. She would have to shimmy across that bed. If she shimmied to the left, she's completely trapped. She can't go forward because that's where the bad guy would be. So yeah, she was 100% trapped, and tactically speaking, sadly, this is what this bad guy perpetrator and what law enforcement looks for whenever we're actually trying to apprehend somebody. So this was the perfect setup. And I just wonder how much this individual did the research. It's interesting because our team has been researching all of these. And as you see, you know, I'm constantly posting in the evening, just so people, of course, keep their interest in this case, because once that diminishes, we might be diminishing whether somebody might actually be able to recognize Porch Guy, because the fewer eyes you have on it, the less chance that Porch Guy is going to be able to be fingered. All right, I want to go back, though, to this restaurant footage. There was this whole scene. It was really a neat segment. And it's basically where Savannah goes home. She goes home to Tucson. You know, clearly she was just a Tucson child. You know, her roots were strong there. She was very entrenched there. She went back to her sorority. She showed pictures of that. It was just really great. And this was a restaurant that she and her family had frequented forever. You can see it's an older restaurant. It's not run by the original owners, only because I believe they've passed, but they've passed it down to relatives. This is a family-owned, quite essential, really cool little Mexican restaurant. Here's the interior and footage from the NBC show where they showed them eating and talking and having margaritas and talking. It was just really sweet. And again, that's the whole purpose of the morning shows, is to really be part of their day and you to be part of their lives. It's the good morning shows are like that. It's nothing like the evening show where it's all about news. They're not worried about actually getting the affection or the closeness. And, you know, that's just such an interesting part of this case too, because I think Savannah herself likely is concerned that this exposure made her mom a target. And I'm not blaming Savannah, certainly. I mean, all the morning shows do this. Certainly nobody could anticipate this. It's like blaming the Idaho 4 kids who didn't lock their screen or their sliding door. You can blame them all you want, but the only person responsible for that slaughter is Brian Koberger and his sick mind. That's who's responsible there. But that doesn't mean we can't learn from some of this. And when you look at this, I mean, I'm just very, very convinced that all of this brought that relationship to light, brought that connection to light, and all that footage maybe was important to these abductors beyond what they did in their own surveys. Thank you. I appreciate it for that super sticker. I appreciate that so much. But anyway, back to this. So recently, and as I said, I was remiss not report. I didn't report on it on Twitter, and I knew there were just so many other great aspects of this case going on. And this, I remember thinking, oh, this is so routine, because it is routine. They went to this restaurant and conducted interviews, and that would be very, very normal. They should have gone to every restaurant, every nail salon, every boutique, grocery stores, wherever these two may have traveled together on a routine basis. Why is that? It's because there's a connection made. Savannah was a celebrity. This isn't just like somebody coming in. This is Savannah Guthrie, who is kind of a daughter of Tucson type person and well known. And I know for me personally, you know, I don't watch the Today Show. So, but I'm familiar with the names and the people, but there are many people who are, and especially if you're from Tucson, you are possibly going to know her. Now, I want to preface that statement by saying this. Please recall when everybody and their dog lined up for days on end covering Nancy Guthrie's house. This was before the permit was in place that tried to keep media out completely. It didn't work. But, you know, the vans can't go in there except for if a neighbor says they can park there. They can walk there. They can bring their equipment there that way. But it was intended to keep media out. And again, of course, they're there and on foot, and some neighbors are either paid or otherwise have agreed to, you know, let them stay there. And believe me, they pay. These media companies will pay you. I have personal knowledge of that. So, you know, anyway, nevertheless, there's still media there. But it was crawling with media, and this is my point. In the middle of this case, when it was most on fire and everybody was watching this case, do you remember that pizza delivery? Now, my understanding is JLR did it, but I think JLR actually wanted it. I don't think he meant it to go to the house. He just gave him that address. And whether it was JLR or not, I don't really care. That's not really the point of this. I know the sheriff was ticked off, of course, and said, don't, you know, and I'm sure that's what also instigated him wanting to get rid of all that media up front. I'm sure he had multiple complaints from neighbors and from the neighborhood. And then on top of that, the pizza incident and other incidents where it's been, you know, this was when the house was being covered by Pima County officers and he was allowed to just walk up there. And so I think it made them look like a little bit of egg on their face. But my point is afterwards, and I posted this footage because it's so funny. The pizza guy's like, you know, and they call him down and he interviews, and I can't remember who interviewed him, but maybe it was John DiPietro. I can't remember, maybe multiple people. I've seen so much. Anyway, he says, the pizza guy who I brought up before, he knows this place better than anybody, this county. And he says, no, I don't know who lives here. No, I don't. And they're like, the Nancy Guthrie case, you don't know. And what it's so hard for many people in media and many people not in media, like you and me, true crimers, newsies, we know what's going on this case. Just like a hockey fan knows what's going on in the trade world or with owners, or if you're watching right now, the lead up into March Madness and everything, there are people who are absolutely glued every day to every game, trying to get ready because the big tournaments, the local tournaments are going on. I'm a basketball fan and my alma mater is in, plays today at 3, hyped. Go WSU. So I've got my mustard yellow for Nancy, but then I've also got it for the Wichita State Shockers. Let's go Shocks. I went to KU and to Wichita State, so I call myself a Woo Hawk. But definitely not to get too off topic, but they play. My point is that when you're into what you are into is what you're going to be up on. And a lot of people hate true crime. I was recently, a few days ago, getting my hair done, and I walk into the salon and I'm always talking with all the girls. I love them all. They all do my hair. I just go from kind of one to the other, and one looks exactly like a sister of Gabby Petito and acts just with that same sort of sunshine, even butterflies. I actually posted a picture of her. But nevertheless, my point is that all of these people in there, and like one person sort of knew the name Nancy Guthrie. They said, but you know, I think my mom's into that. And then another girl says, well, I don't know anything about that, but I have a friend who does. And people don't know. So, you know, I just wanted to bring that home, that not everybody knows what's going on here. And that's why it's so important that we keep it in the news, because that's likely how this case is going to be solved. Although I continue to be confident with the fact that behind the scenes, law enforcement has, let's just say there's 100% of the evidence that exists. We know about 1%, everyone, 1%. All these hundred of agents, all these analysts, these Pima County officers, the sheriff's officers, the FBI generally, they know what's going on. And they have a lot of investigation they've done that the YouTubers and reporters were not able to see because it's not where they're looking, right? They're still focused on Nancy's house. You know, that's where they're grabbing any interesting thing. I tell you, I would not be, that is not what I would be doing. I'm not going to say what I would be doing because then they'll start doing it. And that would be probably not good for law enforcement. So I'm not going to give my 2 cents on that. But they're all posted up still at Nancy's house. And but law enforcement is running around doing all these side investigations, including this one. You know, they want to know, is there anything that they noticed in terms of anyone at their restaurant being particularly concerned about them or obsessed with them? Was there any nexus to somebody at this restaurant? Anyone that was a super fan, anyone that really intimately or more intimately than a regular normal waiter knew, and all the times they were there, were they there anytime, meaning Nancy, was she there anytime around her abduction? So they're going to want to get anything they can glean from that. I know a lot of you are thinking, well, these are just straws, you know, they're needles in a haystack, or straws in a straw stack. they are, you know, not, you know, great, amazing leads, but this is what the FBI does. They leave no stone unturned, and they're not going to leave one stone unturned in this case. So you can look for them going to all of Nancy Guthrie's haunts. That's how I'll say it. Where did she get those nails done? She strikes me as somebody who would have had her nails done. In looking back at the footage I see of her, she likes me as somebody who might have been a boutique shopper, someone that loved to get all these lovely clothes that I see her in, somebody that might have had a special shop she liked to go to there in Tucson, in and around her area. Someone like everybody, we are all people of routine. I guarantee if you look at your life and all the people around you, there is a particular routine, unless they're a reporter or unless they're law enforcement. We have no routine. But your average American has a routine. They get up. The first thing they do maybe is go to the coffee pot. They make some coffee. The second thing they do is they have a time to either get on their phone and look at, you know, messages that have come in, what's going on with my good friend, what's going on with my mom, blah, 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 blah. And then maybe they could go and do their grocery shopping, or maybe they go off and head to work. When they're at work, they probably have very specific places that they go to lunch, and people that they hang out with. After, on Tuesdays, they play Mahjong, and Wednesdays, they, you know, stay home and you know, cook. On Monday, they watch American Idol. Whatever their routines are, we are creatures of habit. And it's just like Mac and I were talking about this. You can, from an investigative lens, because of all the homes you've been in of different people, you can make a lot of evaluation if you just look at their social media, look at what they've posted, look at different film of them, and you combine that with their age and their interest, you can say a lot about them. I mean, Mac basically listed off so much about my house, and I know I film in an area of one of the houses that I have, and so you can see some things depending on which house I'm at, right? It's going to look a little bit different. But because of that, you can kind of glean. And then I've shared a lot of things like what I like to do, my hobbies, and so forth. So people can probably kind of know what to expect that would be in my house. And it's the same with her, with Nancy. So anyway, the Bureau is going to try to get a full profile, a profile of Nancy. And they're trying to figure out if bad guy, porch guy, and anybody else who may have been involved, they're going to try to do the same homework that those individuals could have done. Now, I want to go to something that JLR pointed out. And I know there's a lot of JLR haters. I understand his background. I understand the prison stints. I understand the fraud involved. I understand what he did in Sandy Hook. I understand it all. And for that reason, you can caveat what he has to say. You can be angry that he's making a lot of money. Look, people who make money doing streams and doing that, it's an honest living for those people. That's what they do full time. I hope everybody is successful at whatever they undertake. I don't care what you do. I'm in your ball court. I'm in your court. And I want you to be successful, everyone. And that includes people who stream because they provide an important service. You know, he's out there every single day and he's providing an important service. So I don't know. I just, you can caveat everything he does with his background. But for me, I'm looking at what's happening now and looking at what he's doing on different cases. So, and I know he's crossed the line. I think he crossed the line in a lot of respects on this case. But nevertheless, his reporting is boots on the ground. And I pay attention to some of it. I look at all of them. I really like John DePietro out there. He's a guy really could trust. Obviously, News Nation, Inten, all the News Nation reporters out there, Nancy Liu, all of them. You know, I'm partial to News Nation. So I appreciate all of them taking the time to, believe me, I did that. I was at Brian Laundrie's house with Brian Inten for a long time. And it's hard work. It can be monotonous. You're sitting there, you're waiting for something to happen. And, you know, for hours on end, it's kind of reminded me of back in the day doing surveillance. You're there for 8 hours and nothing happens. The next day, 8 hours, nothing happens. And 3 weeks later, on hour two, all of a sudden something critical happens. So you're just kind of waiting for all of that. And that's what they're doing. It's a waiting game. And then they see things. But this I thought was really important. This map was purportedly, according to JLR, and he's again knocking on doors, trying to get people to talk to him. He says that a neighbor, right after the abduction, right after, so before this has been, you know, completely blown up, right after, because for me, I was on it right after, and I'll tell you why. I got a call from Chris Cuomo's producer saying, hey, we may need you tonight. On a case, it's a missing case of an elderly woman. So they're probably going to find her, but we just need you on standby. And then so that was my first inkling that something had happened because, of course, news and media gets information before anyone else. So I immediately start scrubbing. Who is this? What is going on? Oh my gosh, Savannah Guthrie. Oh, and I was like, oh no, what I could see. I knew this was going to be very important. So you can see I posted right away on Twitter and immediately was contacted by multiple outlets and was deep in the weeds on this. So it was at that time, like February 1, February 2, when apparently this map was given to neighbors in a group chat, like a group neighbor type chat.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes, like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Again, Annie grew up here, grew up in this house. I posted it was bought in, I believe, 1975 for, I think, $85,000 or $87,000, something like that. And this is their home. Look, Annie lives 4 miles away. She's never left home, which happens with so many people. You know, a huge percentage of people, where they grow up, where their roots are, they stay. They love it. They're comfortable. They have these huge established networks. People are people, creatures of habit. Now, yes, there are those people, you know, like me and many others that fly, you know, haven't been home for quite a long time, but we still have roots there, still have many friends there. My first jobs, all those people where I got married, you know, family, all of that remains. And so anyway, she's probably got a group chat with neighbors. I have a group chat with neighbors. Doesn't everybody? I have a group chat with my neighbors, or, you know, a group where we're all linked together for things that happen, like this, these bicycles, these really expensive motorized bikes that were stolen across the street from my house from a neighbor. Of course, because you just got to have that. Plus, if you live in any area where you have weather considerations, you're going to have a group chat. Anyway, so this all made sense to me when I'm listening to JLR talk about this, that there is a group chat and this was immediately sent out. Now, this was what was important. And I got to tell you, I took the time this morning to look at this route. And JLR, the only thing I wish he would have done, and he didn't, he does the route, which is like 21 minutes or something like that. Might've been longer, 21 minutes. He does the route from A to Z. And A, of course, is Nancy Guthrie's house. And then Z ends up at this crossroads. And the crossroads is basically en route to Highway 10, to US 10. And then there's another road that is a busier road. Now, this is why I watched every second. What I said that I wish JLR would have done, I wish he would have done it at night. I wish he would have done this at 2:30 in the morning. That would have been spectacular. And hopefully he will. I really need to reach out to him and say, JLR, please do this route again in the night. But what I thought was interesting is that, of course, very early on, not police, but Annie was doing this. Now, some of you might say, well, you know, how could that happen? It happens all the time, everyone, because when, and I'll give you an example of a case that many people know is the Idaho 4 case. Do you remember Steve Gonsalves all over that case? For instance, that they had put out a timeline and it was wrong. Police had put out a wrong timeline. I don't know if you remember this. It related to Kaylee's phone and messaging, as I recall. And they had that. They had all that information. And they went on air and they were so irritated. And they said they put it in a window of time instead of they had the exact time. And Steve and, you know, his other daughter, they were like, this is important. Like, can we please get this right, police? They were frustrated. And I remember I didn't have a show or anything, but I did a tweet all about that. And I said, oh, I know. I was on Cuomo about it. I said, yes, it's important. Come on, Ellie. Get these times. We don't want the family coming out and saying this. And they investigated the whole time. They hired a lawyer. They hired an investigator. They were investigating. Their daughter, who was a really good investigator, was investigating. Steve was, everybody was, from that family, was looking into all the clues that they could have. And of course, they had a lot because they had information from Kaylee's devices, from, you know, information they knew from Kaylee, information they knew from Kaylee's friends, because they would have access to them, to the boyfriend, because people wanted to help. And there's only so many places. So I'm not trying to be tough on police here. I'm just saying there's only so many places that the Pima County, so there probably was a detective on it early on, you know, I'm sure some other officers, obviously the crime scene people were there for 20 hours. And I'm sure Annie Guthrie was going, well, listen, I've got this great network. I understand police are doing what they need to do. I am on this. Think about if it were your family member. I can tell you if something happens to one of my children or to my biological mother, to my family, I am going to be all over it. All over it. Because I understand that law enforcement, while they have a lot of tools and they have a lot of people, they're not going to do everything right away. And I want it done right away. anything that they're not doing. And I'm sure Annie said, hey, you know, what about this? And I'm sure law enforcement was checking it out, but maybe she felt like they hadn't, she probably called neighbors. Did law enforcement talk to you about this route? And they probably said no. And she said, oh my God, here's the map. This happens all the time. Because you can imagine you're wanting to find your freaking mother. And so anyway, this route to me was so important to watch. And I'll tell you why. It's such a circuitous route. I think I counted 3 lights, and those were on the small stints where they went on roads that weren't the back roads. And they only did them for a short time. You could see I have the map up there. And then I might see one, like in front of the school, they pass by school actually. And then I finally see, you know, some larger lights. Okay, this is what I don't see. For the most part, no lights. For the most part, the houses are way, way back. For the most part, there are no street lamps, as I mentioned. There are seemingly no lights at all. There's no traffic lights at all. This is as rural and as Arizona deserty as it gets. I lived in New Mexico for a while, and you know, for me, it's not my cup of tea. Look, a lot of people love that desert life. I need green, I need water, and I need all of that. Everybody's different. A lot of people love it here. And I tell you what, I have family that live in Arizona as we speak, and they love it there because they don't get sick. There's no pollen. They don't have allergies. They're happy as clams there. It's a very quiet, desolate life. And so, I mean, I can see the quaintness and why people love that. Desert people, you know, in other words, people who love this style, love this. A lot of other family in New Mexico, and they love it. So, but this is absolutely the quintessential reason, I guess, why I didn't like it there so much. This is so deserty. Like there's no grass. There's just cactus and pebbles and sand, and remoteness is the best way I could tell you. I mean, it's literally out of a scene. It could be a scene of a frightening movie because it's so dark and so desolate. And that's what this road is like. This road is winding and weaving. One road is called Roller Coaster Road, which I thought was interesting. And it's perfect. So do we know, because they pass by in part of this, it goes by another road that goes off to Annie Guthrie's house, which I find interesting only because could the person, and I've said this from the beginning, the people, could they have got onto her from that drive, or were they laying in wait at one of the choke points waiting for Annie to get home? Because remember, she was out till almost 10 o'clock that night. It's not like most 84-year-olds that I think are, or how about this, 50-year-olds that want to be home really early and settle in for their evening. So, you know, it's such a joke around people who have turned 50. You know, no more are you out and want, like you're asleep by 9, 10 o'clock, at least a lot of people. A lot of my friends I know, they kind of just 10 o'clock, turn it off. But nevertheless, this is an 84-year-old, no less. And she is out and about with her family playing game night, you know, having dinner. But anyway, this map is so important, I think, because a lot of people have said, well, you know, the video footage, where's the video footage? And Mac and I talked a lot about this, that you don't need to look at tens of thousands of cars, everyone. But I wonder if that's why they're expanding it, because on this dark road at night, if you turn your lights on, and believe me, there's nobody that's going to be out there. It's desolate. Like I said, there was one patch of road, maybe two patches, small patches that you had to either cross or that you went on for a very short period of time on this route. But yes, there's cars when he went, because he went at, you know, I mean, I could tell it looked like it was maybe 5 o'clock or something at night. I don't know exactly, but I was just looking at where the sun was. But he went in the daylight during normal business hours where everybody's out and about. I want to see this JLR doing this with his lights off and doing it at 2:30 in the morning. If I were there, I would do that in 2 seconds. In fact, I'll call John DePietro and ask him to do it. Or, yeah, I'll call John. Take this route. I wonder if you would be seen by any cameras, any Nest, any Ring. I don't think you would. And then on the place, like by the school that you could pass, could you be seen? Maybe. I saw a street light there, and I saw two other street lamps. But I don't know. I mean, it's so dark and desolate. And I thought, wow, what a perfect route to get in and out of her neighborhood. This person practiced. This person knew her area. We've talked about that from the beginning. We've talked about the labyrinth of roads just leading in and out of her neighborhood. There's all sorts of different roads, but there's a reason that Annie thought this path could be important. I was thinking, in my view, is this a route Annie knew? Because she wants to go there, and then that shoots off the endpoint, shoots off at, you know, goes to the highway. And I was thinking, are these the back roads she took? Jazz, we know, we all have back roads. I have back roads. No matter where I'm at, which residence I'm at, I have back roads. I know how to get in and out, and I never have to see a street light or a traffic light, I should say. So I think it's something to really, really, that this could be important. And thank you. Thank you, United, for becoming a member. I really appreciate that. I want to get up here and see what this question is. Oh, it's a super sticker. Thank you, Susie. I appreciate it. Let me put this up because I want to, I just want to let everybody know how much I appreciate you, each of you, and your support. In any event, guys, this is really interesting to me. And I wonder if, because it was so desolate, this is my main overarching point of this map. One, the familiarity that this person has. And two, could this be why law enforcement doesn't have that car nailed down yet? The car that took her out of the neighborhood. Again, porch guy didn't just piggyback or fireman carry her out of this neighborhood. There's a vehicle involved. And they just need to be focusing on that time frame, 2:30 to, 2:30 to probably 3:30. Because let's face it, we know what time at 1:47 that the camera was detached, and we know at 2:28 she became at such a great distance from her Apple Watch that was still on her nightstand, which I'm going to show a picture again. So I know this was 13 years ago, but I doubt very much has changed. We don't know from the time her watch went out how long they stayed. No one knows that answer. No one knows that answer. Everybody wants to say, I keep saying, everybody wants to say 41 minutes based on the 1:47 and then based on the time of the Apple Watch. But there's no guarantees that when that Apple Watch went away from that bed, I mean, what was going on before that? She in that bed all that time for 41 minutes? She was. So not only really do we have a clue about how long she was in her bed. She was in this bed or bedroom area. I think it's like 6 to 12 inches. I've read that it's that Apple Watch needs to be in close, it works by Bluetooth, it needs to be in close proximity. But whatever, it's going to be very close. It's not going to be a room away. What happened for 41 minutes in that bedroom? And then after the watch detached, how long did they stay? We don't have any of those answers, anyone, everyone. We have no idea how long she was in there. All right. Couple more points. IG. So we know a lot about the fact, and when I say a lot, we know about this DNA. Again, can we pick and choose what Sheriff Nano says, what we're going to believe and not believe? I think we have to in some regards, because he definitely, you know, says something. I'll tell you the biggest one, as you all know, that just sticks with me was in his first press conference. He gets out there and he says, my officers were there Saturday night. It sticks with me because there's such a big difference between Saturday night and Sunday afternoon or Sunday late morning. At 11 or so when it was reported. It's such a disparaging comment to make. So, you know, I wish he would clear that up. But nevertheless, I always find it interesting when people say, oh, we can't believe anything he says. And then they talk about what he says as if it is fact. So as I've said from the beginning, I trust what Sheriff Nano says, knowing that he is in the know. We know he's in the know. He's privy to the information. And we don't know who sources are. So it's not about whether you believe a reporter. It's not about whether you believe ABC or NBC or News Nation, my favorite. It's not about that. It's about who these sources are and why they would come out and say anything. And I've always said, and I had Dale Lundgren on this because he worked a lot of high profile cases. He worked a lot of low profile cases. He worked a lot of cases, but no matter what, I was just involved in one as an expert. It was a high profile case. And, you know, this whole source thing, I just need to get off of it. I've said it enough. I just don't know a law enforcement source that is worth anything that would give information. I think it's people that are more removed, right? Somebody who's retired and they reached out to a buddy who reached out to a buddy who knows somebody on the task force. And then that task force person said X and then gets trickled down. And now your source is really the retired guy who really doesn't have much information because, you know, it's second or third or fourth hand. But nevertheless, we're getting a lot of source information in this case. And I just have to go back to citing, especially when it's in written writing, I'm going to believe it. Because I don't believe working in these environments, working task forces, working alongside, it's rare for huge announcements such as the family is cleared not to be condoned by the FBI. The FBI supported that and supported that going out, just like when we saw it every week in the Idaho 4. This is not new at all, having people cleared. And I did a whole segment on it, so I'm not going to belabor how we clear and how you know to move on. You follow facts, and then when the facts come to a dead end, and they always start out with the inner circle, the number one people on my radar are going to be Savannah's husband, Annie's husband, Cameron. Those are going to be number one with me, the people in her circle of watching video, church service video. The number one, that's where you start. And until you can 100%, at least in your mind, I should say 100, until you can pretty much 100%, you're not going to put that out there unless you're 100%. Believe that they're not involved. It's just like you're not going to charge somebody as a law enforcement officer. You're not going to be behind that affidavit you're writing unless you 100% believe they're involved, not partially, not a little bit, but beyond a reasonable doubt. So when you clear somebody, it's beyond a reasonable doubt in your mind that you believe they're cleared. When you as a law enforcement officer, write a criminal complaint or go to your prosecutor and say, this is the guy and here's my evidence. You 100% believe it's true. I always loved it when I would be on the stand and people would say, you know, a defense attorney that wasn't very good would make the mistake of saying, so Agent Coffendaffer, are you telling these jurors that you believe this person's guilty? You believe my client, who has not been found guilty in a court of law, that they're guilty? And I would always say, yes. Do you think I would be here? Do you think I would do a case against somebody I thought was innocent? No, beyond a reasonable doubt, from everything I've seen in the evidence, that guy is guilty. I loved it when they fell in that loophole. You know, please ask me what my opinion is, because obviously, as the case agent and officers who work on these cases, they know the evidence better than anyone, the breadth of the case, inside and out. So anyway, this is back to my point about the information that we know from the sheriff and why I am going to continue to say it. I do it with every case. Law enforcement and what they're willing to tell us, that we know the source because it's coming out of their mouth. We can judge for ourselves whether they have the ability to even have the information. We know when he says something, he has the ability. It's right there before him. He's working side by side with the Bureau. And depending on what charges this end up being, whether the FBI uses the U.S. charge for kidnapping under sub B because she was gone for that period of time. But if they find her there in the Tucson area, if they find her in that close by desert, if they didn't take her to Mexico, they find her alive somewhere in this area, that's going to be Pima County who's going to be prosecuting that. That needs to be made clear to everybody. The FBI can investigate this as a kidnapping, which again is getting back to this motive that we're going to talk about. The FBI can look at it right now, but if she is found in that area, that will go straight on Pima County Sheriff. So if people think, even though right now it's definitely FBI-led, FBI task force, FBI folks with Pima County all there, that sheriff is all up into every day with those detectives, you tell me if anything breaks, you tell me what's happening. I need to know, for obvious reason, he does need to know. And this goes right back to Pima County unless she went across state lines or unless she went south of the border. But for right now, because FBI handles kidnappings, another reason getting into this motive, he said, and I'm going to reiterate this. I talked about this yesterday. I did a members only yesterday. I think our members only, it's like $1.99 up to $3.99. We're having a raffle with the $3.99. I'll start that raffle just so everyone knows. And you don't have to pay any money to be in the raffle. But if you're a $3.99 a month member, your name is going into a hat. And why don't we say at the end of this case, because I think it's going to be solved. And I think it's going to be solved in terms of who's behind this. At the end, when we find that out, that's when we'll pick the name. We'll pick the name right then. And of who, and what we're raffling off, I hate to use the word raffle, but what we're giving away to our $3.99 members, to one of them, is going to be kind of a small FBI basket of FBI, true FBI, not what you get on the internet or Amazon or anything like that. It's going to be from headquarters, and it's going to be a collection of some pens and patches and coins, probably at least one coin, and things like that. So some people are like, listen, I could care less about that. I don't want FBI junk in my house. So, but for those of you interested, that's what we're doing. And I just really want to do something very special for those who are members, because it's just, I know it's $1.99 a month. You spend $1.99 or $3.99. That's less than what you spend on Starbucks maybe every day for those Starbucks goers. But it just means a lot to me. It's to have y'all here. And I'm going to start doing a few more member videos only, that you can only see it if you're a member, and minimally that you can see it first. But while the Nancy Guthrie case is going, I'd really like to get that open to all subscribers and everyone, because right now it's critical, critical. And thank you so much, Julie Hamilton. And thank you so much, Sarah. Someone's going to win this. Or not win this. Somebody's going to get this as, for me, something I can do that's unique, that not, I don't know, very few people who have a channel, that something I can do for one of you. And I'd like to continue it with something like that. So anyway, it's kind of my way to get back for your loyalty to the channel. All right. But that's where we move on to motive. And it's interesting because as soon as Nanos came out with that, and thank you for somebody posted, or I think a couple of people might have posted on my Twitter about how the New York Post quoted me, and I know the Daily Mail, and I think, of course, Newsweek, which is Newsweek I mainly contribute to. I absolutely love their writers. Because believe me, there's been other writers. Where they will take, you know, because when you do an interview with a writer, you might talk to them for 30 minutes and then they take out different quotes and they take it out of context. Sometimes it can mean something that I never meant. It's been very rare. I can only think of one case really that jumps out to me, and it was on the Harmony Montgomery case. And so I'm very careful now about who I deal with and who I talk to. They're mostly repeat people. Like the writer from the Daily Mail, that there's two writers. I don't know the others necessarily, but I know I can trust them. Newsweek, I 100% trust. The writer that I spoke with often, and he went on, now he does something else for Newsweek. I think he does human interest. I think all that crime was really weighing on him. And now there's two other writers who I absolutely love. And please, if you know, like to read as opposed to listen, Newsweek is where to go. They are great. They are absolutely fact-based. We always talk about when I have something to say, I'll give them either the source, or I'll say, hey, on this particular fact, you can look here and here, or blah, blah, blah. And they do it on their own anyway. But if I just know it and can give them that breadcrumb, I'll give it to them, because I'm not going to say anything unless I can back it with something. And then if it's something that is a hypothesis, I'm going to make that crystal clear that it's my hypothesis based on XYZ. So in this case, a lot of people are talking about the motive. And as I said, right away, I talked about that motive after March 2nd, because the sheriff gives us a really clear roadmap as to the motive. And he said it was always the motive they were going to, which was a kidnapping, a purposeful kidnapping, abduction. That's how I'm taking it, because they gave a lot of credence to that ransom note. They came out, they did all these staged, if you will, and I hate to say staged, but let's say they weren't staged, because it was from the bottom of Annie's heart and Savannah's heart. And Cameron there, when he spoke later, begging, please give us how to pay you, and please communicate with us, the family, instead of going through these. But there was a lot of credence about this kidnapping for ransom. And I truly believe it was a kidnapping for ransom gone bad. And that's what he basically said. He said, listen, people aren't safe out there. And I say they're not safe no matter what. Anytime you have somebody willing to go into somebody's house and abduct an 84-year-old, and God knows what else he did in that house for all that time he spent in there, you have somebody dangerous out there. I said the same thing with the Idaho 4. It always frustrated me. And I, you know, my hat's off to Chief Fry and the work that they all did. But Chief Fry, when he came out, oh, no, nobody's really in danger. It was targeted. People, you're always in danger, because that target shifts once the target's done with. In other words, Nancy's already been abducted, and whatever has happened, it has happened. And I believe there had to have been no proof of life, or they would have followed through with sincere, serious ransom demands. So nevertheless, he's gone out and said that. I believe what he has to say. And I know there is a lot of people that are upset with this, but nevertheless, so we've talked about the normalcy of going to the Mexican restaurants and all her haunts, and that is what they should do, law enforcement, the FBI. We've talked about the motive. I think, to me, that was made new on March 2nd. We're well down the road here, but I thought it deserved revisiting because some people are very upset about, you know, why didn't he say that from the beginning? Well, if we were watching the roadmap, he was kind of telling us, not he, but law enforcement, by their actions, we could see what their thoughts were. Legend asks, is there anything new? Yeah, there's something new. What's new is this map, in my opinion. And I find it very interesting. This purported map that was given by Annie to people as a possible roadmap that would at least explain why individuals weren't in charge. Oops, I'm sorry. Why individuals, I keep hiding stuff because this is going too fast in chat for me to put this up. Sorry. There we go. Sorry if I hid your comment. I certainly didn't mean to. It's just going pretty fast. I want to quickly go through your questions. I want to take three questions. I'm trying to really do that to engage you all because I really care about what you guys think. And like I said, you're the people who are going to be on a jury. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be on a jury because of my law enforcement background. Let's see. Anything else? All right. I actually don't see any particular questions except for Legend asking what was new to me. That map was something I had never heard about and I thought was important. The interviews at the haunts wasn't exactly new, but there's going to be so much more. But this is interesting to me, this, because I just feel like many of us have been wondering, because we're not boots on the ground, why in the world don't they have better video right now that we can look at? And this gives us a real reasoning why when you watch that road. But I'm going to ask John if he will do it at 2:30 in the morning. Hopefully he will, with his lights off. Seems dangerous, but there's nobody on these roads. And go and see what that was like, what that would be like for a camera picking him up. Her up. I'm going to put her face back up here because that's all that matters here. That's why we do this. We need to help find Nancy Guthrie and what happened to her. So I hope that her face and name and the story stays in the news for that reason. I'm continuing to cover some other stories that was breaking. And for those of you who just are interested in Nancy Guthrie, I'm going to peel off just for a second to talk about D4VD. Otherwise known as David and Celeste Rivas. I'm just going to touch base because there's been some really breaking news yesterday on that. And that was that Neo, we've talked about here. I did a whole live and maybe I'll resend that out because I think it is so important. Neo, close friend. Actually, I could put up some photos. I think I can get to them pretty quick. Neo, close friend of David. In fact, after the vehicle was parked and they went out on the road, you know, we can see Neo and David. There's some very interesting pictures of them together. Judging from those pictures, it seems like they were probably very close in a lot of ways, Neo and David. And, you know, we know that they went, meaning we know that the vehicle went at least to a remote area in California, and where many people believe that Celeste was assaulted and cut up into pieces and put in the trunk. And yes, As I mentioned a long time ago, there's no way she could fit in the frunk without being cut up. I mean, her exact size, and it's an impossibility. And the autopsy came out, and now we know she was cut up. Her limbs and legs, or her limbs were all taken off, put in a bag below her, and then her torso and head were above that in another separate plastic bag. So the suspect that law enforcement came out and named many months ago is David. And that is who she was involved with, very, very involved with David. I'm trying to find a couple of these pictures. The one that I specifically want is him with Neo, but I'm not sure I have that picture on here with him and Neo. So let me just put a picture up there with them. I'll just put a picture of this bad guy up here. Oh, it didn't go on. Darn it. Sorry, couldn't get it to go on. There it is. Nevertheless, he's the suspect, and Neo is his close friend. And Neo has said he's gone public. TMZ broke the story, and basically he's flipping on him. He's mad because, of course, everybody thinks he's involved. Of course people think he's involved. And that he has information. He obfuscated and would not, basically fled, had to be arrested to go before the grand jury. Then before the grand jury was in there a very small amount of time, likely the amount of time to say, I plead the fifth, I plead the fifth, I plead the fifth. But now he's had a change of heart. And I posted all about this on Twitter. Hopefully that tweet went through. I have so much on there. It takes forever to go through. That's why sometimes I'll do a tweet and 12 hours later it comes on and everybody's like, yeah, this is old news. And I'm like, well, it was new news when I put it on. But depending on your internet, sometimes faster than other times. So anyway, this Neo character, they were joined at the hip after it all happened. There's, you know, pictures of I'm gay and they're laying together and, you know, they're besties, they're on the floor. And, obviously this was somebody very important for the grand jury to hear from. Well, it looks like he's decided to flip. And I love what my friend Max says. She says that swans don't swim in the sewer. I just love that title because it's true. You're not going to find out what David did except for going into his sewer of friends. And I say that because of what happened to Celeste Rivas. It's people who live in a sewer that can do that to somebody. So he's flipped. We're going to hear a lot more. I think this is moving in the right direction now. His attorney, Neo's attorney, of course, has said he has nothing to do with it. So we'll see how good his proffer ends up being, because if it ends up being a bunch of lies, law enforcement isn't going to be able to use it. It's going to be very difficult. But hopefully he's going to come with his lawyer telling him he needs to bear all. And hopefully this case can be made against David and anyone else involved in this. So I think that case is getting closer. It's a case we followed from the beginning too. Anyway, all of y'all, thank you for being here on your Sunday. I need to let you go. Sunday plans, Sunday dinner, Sunday lunches, Sunday time with family, Sunday time at church with the Lord. So anyway, thank you all for being here. All right. Till next time. May justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and for all the missing.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Tufort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.